I really have to say how well you all sing. I'm sure you all must have microphones hidden away there, but you sing well. The praise is very good here, and I'm not patronizing you in any way. We come now to God's Word, and we turn to Matthew's Gospel, the part of the Sermon on the Mount. And in this chapter, he comes from a teaching about giving to the needy, and then the teaching on prayer, and then a passage on fasting, followed by our treasures in heaven. And the verse 25 of Matthew 6, the heading given here is simply, "Do not worry." And this is the theme of this morning's service, where Jesus says to you and he says to me, "Do not worry." Matthew 6, verse 25, and it says this, Jesus speaking, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass and the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen. May God bless to us this reading of his holy word. And I think now we have the sermon. You wouldn't believe, having spent 10 years doing series in the Carentine, 15 years doing series in the various series in the Strathblane, coming to different churches, it's all different. And I say again, if I miss something, just throw something at me and I'll try and catch up. You will gather that when you retire, you can afford to do sermons again, the same sermons again, trying to get it right, you know. And I say this with the confidence that Charles Spurgeon, one of the great preachers of all time, he would go around all of the UK preaching the same sermon. So I feel I'm in good company. I remember an occasion during my time at university. It was the evening before a fairly important exam. It was a pass, no pass situation. And I asked one of the girls at the counter, had a reset to do in this major exam. And I asked, what does this mean? She said, well, Joe, you go over your answers and try to explain more fully what you were saying. And the people there, different professors will come and speak to you, and they will eke out what you were actually trying to say in your answer. Well, that's fair enough. The evening before the exam, then my wife-to-be, Jean phoned to give me some words of encouragement. And she said, I was speaking to someone who's doing medicine, and they say tomorrow's exam is a whole new examination. They won't ask you the questions that you try to answer. They'll ask you other questions. I said, yikes. At the end of the conversation, Jean said, now, Alec, don't worry about this. And I said, well, I'm not really. And she said, well, you should be. Words of encouragement. I suppose that goes for a bit most things, isn't it? Imagine this, if you will. You go to bed at your usual time. You read your book, maybe a magazine, maybe a few Bible verses, maybe a word of prayer. You turn off the light and very soon you're fast asleep. So far, so good. But then around 3:30, 4:00 in the morning, something wakens you up. You begin to think of things. Trivial things become matters of great importance. One thing leads to another, and before you know who you are, life has become one major crisis. Have you ever been there? It's a sea of nodding heads. You're now wide awake, tormented by problems you never knew existed. You try counting sheep and other well-tried methods, but nothing seems to work. Your mind keeps racing as you find yourself stuck in top gear. I'm sure at some stage we've all had this experience. In verse 34 of Matthew 6, Jesus says to us, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Or as it says in the Message version of the Bible, don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will deal with it when the time comes. God didn't make us to worry. Worry goes against the manufacturer's specifications. Worry can make you crash. Worry can crush you before anything actually happens. Here's a lesson from the country music world. I wonder if you have ever heard the name Marion Wilkin. No? You might not know her name, but maybe you know one of her songs. Marion grew up in a Christian home in Texas. As a teenager, she moved to Nashville, Tennessee, where she became one of the biggest names in country music. She wrote songs for Johnny Cash, Patti Page, Charlie Pride, Glenn Campbell, Patsy Cline, and many others of the day. Despite her talent and fame, Marion was a wreck by the age of 50. Consumed with worry and fear for her future, she became an alcoholic, driving her to attempted suicide. Getting to the end of herself, she found a church. Or maybe we should say, Marion, a church found Marion. And isn't that why we're here? To find people out there and to bring them into God's presence Sunday by Sunday. We're here to win people, to draw people not to ourselves, but towards Jesus. Cutting the long story short, she became a Christian, committing her life to Jesus and the life of Christian faith. Soon after, she wrote one of the most famous songs of all time. Maybe you know it. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's day, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow's may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way, one day at a time. Maybe a wee bit American sweet, a bit simplistic for us doer Scots. But Marion got it. She understood what Jesus is talking about in these verses. Sufficient for today are the problems, the troubles of today. Marion Wilkin died in 2006, a happy, contented, 86-year-old lady, an alcohol-free Christian lady. She got it. You can't carry yesterday or your imagined tomorrows. You have to trust God today. If you're going to get free of worry, you must believe You must believe that you can't control the future. No amount of worrying will do this, no matter how strong and gifted you are. Jesus says, God will help you deal with tomorrow when tomorrow comes. That's his promise to us, to every single one of us here this morning. Worry chokes your ability to make good choices today. Worry keeps you from doing what you can do today to effect a better future. No, worry is not good. Of course, we must plan ahead, but worrying about the future doesn't alter the future. It hinders your performance for tomorrow. Let's break this down to see for yourself where you fit in here. First of all, I can't control my health future. I might get cancer. I might suffer a heart attack. I might discover I have MS. I might develop Alzheimer's disease. I might die in a car accident. All these things are possible. These things would be very, very sad for me, but I can't control any of that. But yesterday, I can do something. I can choose what to eat and how to exercise and to remember to take my medication. I can try to be a careful car driver. I can do what to do to be sensible. But worrying about these things just isn't it. I can't control my health future. I can't control my family's future. My children might go off the rails and make bad choices. They might have no time for church or Christian things. But worry doesn't help me doing what I can do today to make it better for them. And what I say now also applies to our two very young grandchildren. I can love them today. I can serve them today. And most importantly, I can pray for them today. And you can do that too, can't you? I can forgive them today. And I can ask them to forgive me. Worrying about my family might make me feel better, but truly it does nothing for them. I can't control my financial future. Now there's something. As a parish minister, I've discovered people will discuss issues with their work, their health, their family relationships, personal problems. But one thing they won't talk about is their money. You know, I can go to see somebody in hospital in the Western, wherever, and they will discuss their illness, the lead up to hospital admittance. They'll discuss the operation. They'll even show me their scar. I don't want to see that. Very personal things. But if I say to them, oh, we're having a rally at the church, we're gathering for this purpose, tell me, how much do you have in your bank? Oh, down come the shutters. They will discuss anything else, but they will never, ever answer that question. Would you answer that question? Would you tell the congregation how much you've got in your bank? I'm sure you wouldn't. I wouldn't ask you. My church pension plan might turn to dust. My insurance company might go bust. Gosh, even today, my bank could go to the wall. That's not impossible, is it? But I can't control any of that. What I can do is I can save more money than I spend. I can say no to things I don't actually need. I could work hard and try to be my boss's best employee. Financially, good things to do. But worrying insulates me, inhibits me from actions today that will promise a better tomorrow. We could worry about the state of our society today, the moral declension all around us, or the organization I work for, or my neighborhood, or my church. The list goes on, doesn't it? Can you identify with any of these things? Are you seeing yourself anywhere in these verses from Jesus? Know this. Worry doesn't improve your performance. Worry truly impairs your performance. It doesn't make things better for you or anybody else. It makes things worse. Worry is a form of despair. It keeps us from doing the best we can do. We can be loving to the people around us. We can be the best employee in our workplace. We can try to be the most faithful student at the university. Good things to do. We can vote. All these, the list goes on. And we can pray. It's open to every single one of us, the power of prayer. We can be the most faithful, effective prayer member of this congregation. I remember in Strathblane, there was a number of good folk there, a good number, but one lady in particular, her name was Ruby, and she was such a committed, long-term Christian, a marvellous, marvellous person, and so self-effacing. And a great support to me. The time came when her husband died, she could no longer live on her own, she was being admitted to full-time care. And she was so concerned because she was abandoning me to the parish and the congregation. What could she do for me now, you know? But what we did was this. I wouldn't lose her. What we did was this. We made sure that Ruby was supplied with every week's intimations. She was given, sent a copy of every quarter's congregational magazine and newsletter. And I know that every day in that place before Ruby died, she prayed for me and the congregation. What power is that? And now I've lost my place. Know this. In your Bible, wherever you find the word don't, and look it up, you'll find there's lots of don'ts, columns of them. Wherever you find the word don't, what God is saying to you, don't hurt yourself. Whatever the word don't is explaining, God is saying to you, don't hurt yourself. When he says, be anxious for nothing, as he says here, don't worry, he's offering us protection. Isn't that good? Your GP will tell you the side effects of worry. I've got a wee list here. I'm sure it could go on. Irritability, depression, insomnia, fatigue, headaches, tightness in neck muscles, high blood pressure, increased heart rate, upset tummy, ulcers. Even our immune systems can be affected. I could mention other things I won't mention here. You can use your imagination. The list goes on. God loves us. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And Jesus says to you this morning, don't worry. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And he says, don't worry. Do we understand why he says this? Do we get it? He says, don't worry, because whatever the crisis, he is able to handle it in his time and in his way. The storm in the Sea of Galilee from Matthew chapter 8. Jesus in the boat with the disciples. I'm sure you know the story. Now, this was no Calmac, Weemsbury crossing to Rothsay. Storms in the Sea of Galilee, they were awesome. The waves were mountainous. They would cover the boat. And towering waves were crashing over the boat, threatening to sink her. Some questions for us here. Didn't Jesus check the weather forecast before he set out? I would say, yes, he did. Did he know this mega storm was coming? I would say, yes, he did. Yet he allowed them, we can believe, he led them straight into harm's way. Could he have stopped the storm before it started? Again, yes, he could. But he let it come. He let that storm come. we ask, is it possible he even welcomed the storm? And I think so. Let's be clear thinking here. Sometimes Jesus disguises difficult circumstances in your life, physical, emotional, financial, as opportunities for personal growth. I believe that. And I know it in my own life. The traffic jam causing you to miss that important appointment, that interview for the big job you wanted, that the jam at all times on this day of all days. Why did it happen? I missed the interview. Having to cancel a holiday abroad you were looking forward to because of some illness in the family. Oh, why does she have to do it now, you see? We are even losing your job at some critical time. You're buying your new house and you lose the job. Why now? We would choose to avoid trouble at all costs, but Jesus sees a bigger picture. Now this isn't fatalism, as people out there would tell you. Fatalism is that all events are predetermined, with man left powerless to his destiny. It's not fatalism. As the winds howled and the waves crashed over that wee boat, what was Jesus doing? Jesus slept on. Only when the disciples cried, Lord, save us, did the Master respond to their cry in faith. Only then did Jesus come to their rescue. Remember at the beginning we spoke about sleepless nights. God wants us to offer this prayer of faith, whatever your worry is. One, Lord, help me. I know who I am, and I know who you are. Secondly, I know these troubles, my troubles, belong to you, because you love me and you care for me. Three, you never said I could or should carry these things myself, and as long as I think I can, you'll be sleeping at the front of that wee boat. Prayer is the process. Prayer is the transaction that passes your load to God. I choose to trust. I choose to believe. Let's run through very quickly Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34. Can we do that in the overhead now? Very quickly, 25 to 34. Verse 25. I trust that God will meet my needs financially, physically, emotionally. Verse 26. I trust that God cares for me and my loved ones. Verse 27. I trust, I believe that God has numbered my days. Verse 28. I trust that doing my best just isn't enough. Verses 29 to 33. Running through these verses. I trust, I believe that seeking God and his kingdom is the best way to win over worry. And verse 34. I trust my God to take care of all my tomorrows. If every storm seems so big when you're in it, doesn't it? We've all been in storms. Financial, physical, emotional. Maybe even there's some of us here this morning in one of these storms at this very minute. We don't know. But God knows. I choose to trust. But how do you do this? How do I do this? One, start by telling God your need of his help. Put into words why you're turning to him. Secondly, move on and tell him your limitations, the things you're simply unable to do. Thirdly, describe in detail each of the problems, the people, and the possibilities that cause you this anxiety. Your need of him, your limitations, and then your problems. Picture yourself at the feet of Jesus, placing each of these burdens before him, and watch as he takes you in his loving arms and whispers peace to the storm within you. And he does that in all his glorious power. Let's leave the last word here to the doctor, to Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he says simply this: if you want to seek anything, if you want to be anxious about anything, be anxious about your spiritual condition, your nearness to God, and your relationship to him. If you put that first, worry will go. That is the result. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Aren't you glad we read this passage? I am glad all over again I've read this passage. And yes, that degree exam I was sitting that Monday morning, I failed the exam. If I had passed the exam, I wouldn't have spent 30, 35 years in the ministry. Some might say, wouldn't that have been a better thing? But you know what I'm saying. God works in mysterious ways. I thought the world was coming to the end of this exam. I had to pass this law exam. I didn't do it. Yes, indeed, his thoughts and his ways are beyond my comprehension as well. By his grace, I choose to trust God with all my tomorrows. Why? Because I can. And I can because he invites me to. And because, as I've discovered, there's really no other way that works. May you discover the same thing. Amen.